This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 27, 2022, the first Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The night is past, the day is at hand.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Today, we enter the season of Advent. Those words from the second reading day, St. Paul to the Romans, the night is past and the day is at hand. And it does not say that the night is past and the day is here. The day is at hand, it's coming. This is the symbolism of Advent. They talk about the symbolism of Advent and the spiritual implications of Advent, and then the practicalities of Advent, because Advent is a very practical liturgical season. It is like Lent, is like our Fridays. There are specific times in the church calendar in which we are to pay particular attention to things. A lot of people, unfortunately, in our day and age, and it's not all their fault, it's the presentation, is thinking that purple is a Christmassy color. That's why it is, because we're in Christmas time now. It is not Christmas. It is not Christmas until midnight mass, Christmas Day. Then it's Christmas. Before that, it is Advent. It's purple not because that's a Christmassy pretty color, because purple is the color of penance. Is a color that reminds us of sackcloth and ashes, or should. This whole idea of the night is past. For us who are baptized, the night is indeed past. We're living in this critical time in our lives when we are proving ourselves. And this is the reality of the night past. This is what St. Paul means, the night. I mean, St. Paul sounds very poetic in this particular passage here, and he is, but I mean, there are profound things to understand. The night is past. What is the night? Darkness of sin. The darkness of sin that clouds us in ignorance of God and what he wants. It leads to infidelity, being unfaithful, and at least to idolatry. I don't have any statues in my... Idolatry is anything that deviates your attention from the worship of the living God, the way he wants to be worshiped. All these things are a consequence of darkness. For those of us who are baptized, those days are past. But again, the night isn't, or the day isn't here. This is why this season is purple. It's not black like it is at funerals, but it's not like white is it at Christmas. It's this interim state. Liturgically, we're supposed to be thinking about this. This is what the symbolism here is. You look around, it's not just that there's purple here. There's no flowers. We don't have a Gloria that is sung. The organ is very limited during Advent. All these things that we do that show a more somber tone of things, then we start to understand in, and not just symbolism of it, but symbolism for us speaks as to reality. And St. Paul says that your salvation is closer than the day you believed. That sounds, if you look at it in one way, that, I can't wait. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to take me to heaven. You hope, or you should hope. Okay, do not be presumptuous on our Lord's mercies and on his grace. This is what seasons like this do. They bring to our attention. I'm out of the darkness. I'm out of the blackness. But now that I'm in the purple state, which is the life in this world, occasionally we gravitate back and it gets a little bit darker. It's called sin. Okay, we got to evaluate as to whether or not we're there or not. And this is what Lent and Advent do for us. I mean, let's stick with Advent today. The longer we live, and I said people don't really get the whole concept anymore of Advent. Why is that? Because, for one thing, the Mass, the traditional Latin Mass, the collect for the day, the prayer for the day, I'm not going to go through the whole prayer, but it winds up saying, we hope you do all these things for us to keep us from your wrath that is to come. Well, no, I read the bulletin. God's not angry. Read 2 Thessalonians, see what the Holy Spirit says about God's anger. We want to be kept free from that. Traditional Latin Mass, it speaks of that. Our Mass today, I hope, pray God, you listen, I know you do, to the prayers that are said, because you say Amen, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. What do the prayers say? That by His grace, we put off the works of darkness in preparation for our Lord Jesus Christ coming as judge. So this has been, the wording's different, it's the same concept. We're in darkness still. We got to make sure that we keep on moving toward that light. And He's going to come as our judge. This is what we prepare for. You know, if it wasn't about Christ coming back as judgment, we wouldn't have Advent anymore. We wouldn't have Advent. You just have Christmas. Jesus has already come. There's no anticipation anymore. He's come as Redeemer. He's going to come again as judge. And this is what we need to be prepared for. This is what Advent does for us. And you do this whole thing, the longer we live, the nearer we are to our salvation, hopefully. How do we know whether we're saved or not? When our Lord Jesus Christ looks at us at the judgment and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Until that time comes, we're not in the day yet. It's there, we're moving toward it, but we have to be awake to see the day. I was like, it's unfortunate that I can so often use myself as a bad example of things. When I was a teenager, I'd go to bed at 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'd roll out of bed at 1:30. And there's a certain times of the year, there's like 2 or 3 hours of daylight left when I'm getting up. It was like perpetual night for me. It was night when I went to sleep. I didn't know it was day. I wake up, oh, it's light out. You know, and then it got dark again. It was night. We don't want that spiritually. St. Augustine speaks on that. St. Augustine says, just as those who sleep think it is still night, so there are some people who, even though Christ is here and the truth of the gospel is being preached, they are still asleep as far as their soul is concerned. They don't see the light. We need to see the light. We need to be awake to see it. This is what these seasons do for us. They jar us into the reality of Christ is coming back as judge. We see that. That is the motif. You know, but I talked about the old masses, the traditional masses, where you hear this in the prayers of the day even. I looked yesterday at the new missal, and it doesn't say word one about judgment. It doesn't say word one about sin. Nothing. It talks about us gathering together in the kingdom of God. That is not an Advent message. That is not an Advent prayer. When you look at Advent as you should in preparation. You know, I've heard Clarence, you make Advent sound so it's a time of joyful anticipation. No, it's not. It's a time of anticipation of joy. This is what Advent is all about. You know, this is the symbolism here. Then you go from the symbolism into the spiritual aspect of this whole thing. St. Paul, let us walk in the day. And we're getting practical here. Let us walk as in the day. Again, sounds very poetic. What's he talk about? When it's daylight, when there's light, when there's people around and watching and things like that, we don't have a tendency to mess up. And nobody gets up in the morning and, you know, it's noontime, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't consider about going out, walking your dog or going out your yard or doing anything like that or traveling around the city. You know, it's daytime. That's the way we look at it. It's light. Nobody's going to do anything. You're not so near as apt to walk your dog, depending on where you live. Not so apt to walk your dog, really. It doesn't matter where you live. In the middle of the night. It's wandering about anyway. There are places that you would never think of going in the city, certain areas you would never conceive of going at night. Why? Because people act differently at night than they do. You know, and I'm not just talking about criminal activity. I'm talking about criminal isn't sinful. I mean, think of the biggies that you can commit, and most of that, whether it be literal or figuratively night, we do them under the cover of darkness. Is somebody watching? Would somebody know? Am I having to circumvent, you know, in some way that if somebody would know what I'm doing? This is a sin that I commit alone. Nobody sees. That's what St. Paul's talking about. Walk and live your Catholic life as if it's daylight. Basically, as if you, because we should understand that. No matter if we're by ourselves in a room somewhere, and it is the middle of the night, the Blessed Mother is there, our guardian angel is there, our Lord Jesus Christ is there, and the Holy Spirit that indwells you sees everything that you do. You got a little crowd around you, and we're just, we don't take in them into consideration. Why? Because nobody knows. That's night. That's what St. Paul said. Let us walk as in the day, because we should know the season, that the hour has now come for us to rise, to be awake, to see the light. You know, because as I said before, our life in this world is a very critical time. This is where we're proving to Jesus Christ that we truly embrace the faith, that we truly embrace Him. We can't talk about it and not live it. I love Jesus, but I do this. I love Jesus, but I do that. No, you don't. Our Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is the reality of things. We need to live like that. So our life in this world is very critical, our whole life in this world, because we're called to live this life acting like we're Christians. We're supposed to be manifesting that grace that is piety. And we hear about that grace, you know, piety. We hear that word a lot. What is piety? Devotion to God and observance of Catholic principles. That's piety, okay? And it has to be fostered. It has to be lived. It has to be presented to other people. And St. Paul, he goes from speaking about the spiritual realities of this, walking as in the day and being practical about our spiritual lives, and then he goes into speaking about particularly Christian qualities. You know, there are certain qualities that are particularly Christian. And when I say that, that doesn't mean that the godless heathen doesn't have some of these qualities. Christians are supposed to love each other. Pagans love one another for various and sundry reasons, but they still love one another. There's a lot of pagans who give a lot of money to charities. Okay, we're supposed to give, right? You know, so they exhibit qualities. They can exhibit those qualities. We must exhibit those qualities. This is the emphasis for us. It is not a matter of an option. Because a pagan, they might be good sometimes and not good the other time. We are supposed to be good all the time. Okay, this is our life. It's hard. It's difficult. Ask me, I'll tell you. This is the reality of things. We have to live it, though. This is that forging process, forging our virtue, in this case, piety. Because the Holy Spirit, when speaking through St. Paul, he's trying to rouse us to greater things than the things of this world. He is practically speaking to us about prepare yourself in a very real, objective sense for the spiritual banquet that you may inherit if you do so. This is the message practically of Advent. Advent is a season of proper conduct. The Holy Spirit, He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. So what does He do? He gives the church certain seasons of the year where we particularly emphasize it's supposed to be in the forefront of our mind, proper conduct. Advent, Lent, every Friday of the week. These are particular days where Catholics have always proverbially put their nose to the grindstone and did some self-evaluation. While we don't eat meat on Fridays, and yet that's still a thing. We don't eat meat on Fridays. We're supposed to act like Advent is a penitential season and act like Lent is a penitential season, not fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. It's the whole season. It's long. Yes, it is, because the Holy Spirit wants us to get a grip. Advent is a season of proper conduct. And this is where we get into the every year at the beginning of Advent, the Father Doc Advent approach to things. How many people for the next several weeks are going to a Christmas party? That's kind of hard because it's not Christmas yet. It's not a Christmas party. You're going to a party during Advent, a time that is traditionally for us a time of extraordinary moderation. And we're going to go to parties every week. And what's really sad is, this is kind of a two-edged sword, when are most Christmas parties? On Fridays. Wow. Penitential season, penitential day, and I'm going to a Christmas party, but it's not Christmas. There's a problem there. And this is not, Father Doug said we can't go to Christmas parties. No, he didn't. He said, moderate. You're doing a work of supererogation if you don't go to any. As a matter of fact, that would be like the, that would be good. Yeah, okay. But most of us, I will probably wind up going to a couple social events. But if you do it, I'm going to go to a party this night. And the Friday thing, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people do because I get a lot of email. You need a dispensation on Friday. You need to call your pastor and ask for a dispensation from not eating meat on Friday. If you're going to go to a Christmas party on Friday, where are you going to eat meat? You know, of course, I sit in there a lot. Oh, I ate meat. I was at a party. I didn't really think. Yeah. We're in a season where we're supposed to be thinking about that stuff. And you went to a party and you weren't thinking. There is a problem here. Again, it's not a Christmas party. It's a party during a penitential season that is Advent. There's 12 days of Christmas. You can't find a Christmas party during Christmas time. Why is it? Because all of them, everybody's tired of going to parties because they all went to parties in Advent. That's sad. How many times have you heard people say, I gained 10 pounds over Christmas? Yeah, you didn't. You gained 10 pounds during Advent, where you're not supposed to be eating as much. That's the reality of things. That's, we can chuckle about it, but it does us a disservice. These seasons are not for God, they're for us. They're for us to focus our attention because you got 12 days of Christmas, almost 2 weeks. Celebrate, do this, do that. I mean, there are things you can't even do during it. Can't have masses for the dead on Christmas time. You know, all these kind of things that are because it's so joyful. Advent, we don't do things like that. Okay, there's proper conduct to be done because it exhibits our piety. Because piety is preventive. When we moderate self-consciously during Lent, Advent, on Fridays, when we do that, it forms habits within us. It gives us an understanding of things because, you know, again, piety is preventative. If we have these seasons where we deprive ourselves a lot, then we have a tendency to live in moderation when it's not a penitential season, even moderation. Because if you're not moderating things, then problems happen. And this has been your teaching for your church from its inception. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel today. Yeah, it's going to be like that when I come back, just like it was in the days of Noah. They were just living life like it was just ordinary, just day to day, eating, drinking, giving in marriage. None of those things are sinful, but they weren't paying attention to the fact that the wrath of God was hanging over their head and didn't pay any attention to it. We need to pay attention to that. I don't want to go to church where we talk about it during Christmas time, about Satan and about evil and sin and darkness. We don't talk about that during Christmas. We talk about that during Advent because this is the reality of things. Origen, early church father, reveling. That's how in the older versions do it, partying. Reveling refers to dishonorable and extravagant banqueting, which is inevitably prone to other evils. Ambrosiaster, another early church father, sins are hatched in large supplies of wine. Therefore, banquets of this kind should be avoided. This is not old, prudish, stick in the mud, tell not to drink and everything. That's not what we're saying at all. St. John Chrysostom addresses that. He said, Paul does not forbid alcohol. He's opposed only to excessive use. because he knows nothing kindles lust or wrath so much as excessive drinking. Advent time, the confessional gets busier, which I guess maybe even a good thing, because at least maybe people are thinking about it. But I mean, even in the world, Advent, during Advent, the Christmas party, when I was a cop, oh my gosh, two times of my life that I won't get back, 2 years of my life that I won't get back, were two different times that I worked in the DUI unit. To go to work during Advent in the DUI unit was, it wasn't work. You sit there and drink coffee at 7-Eleven, everything, go, okay, I'm going to go get one. You know, you actually had to go hunting like during the week, and all the things, like, you know, find a drunk driver. It's not tremendously difficult to find one around here. But during Advent, I'm going to go get one. It would be 10 minutes later. Yeah, I got one. I'm going to head down to the jail. What? You get this part, you pull the... I'm talking about when it's still light outside. And it gets dark very, very early during Advent. I'm talking about when it's still light out. I'm talking 3:30, 4 o'clock. I used to love to snag them before dinner time. Then you had yours and you just go about your business. But I mean, you get these people, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, couldn't even stand up. They're trying to drive, couldn't even stand up. Hey, where are you coming from? Christmas party. Yeah, man, you shouldn't have been driving. I know, I never drink. That's obvious. Christmas parties. But what Christmas? What's Christmas about? Our Lord Jesus Christ coming to redeem us from our sins. I went to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ coming. They don't go to celebrate that. So not only is it not Christmas time, nobody approaches it for what it is. You can call it Christmas, but it's not. But you don't even act like it is. They use it for a time of excess. And it's unfortunate, but a lot of us do that also. There's not a time for that. We've got to be careful with this, because Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field, as we are told in Genesis. When we look at this, he gives you enough truth. He makes things sound nice. Yeah, it's Christmas time. Jesus came, died for your sins. You know, it's Christmas time. You should celebrate. It's Christmas time. You know, he's telling you it's Christmas time, but it's not. It's Christmas time. You should go to parties and hang out with your Christmas-loving friends and be excessive. And then all of a sudden, badness happens. That's how he works. He makes things look good for us. How many people, seriously, you know, I hear it somewhat frequently. Oh man, that was a real bummer of a homily that you gave during Christmas time about sin. And it's true. And the other stuff isn't. The other stuff sounds nice. You go to, I want to hear about joy, and I want to hear about Jesus coming. I want to hear about the manger. Well, come after Christmas starts. Then we'll hear about that stuff. That's not what Advent's for. Advent is for a purpose, and it's preventative if we use it properly. St. Paul and I will wind this up in a statement that he makes. He says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he uses this analogy, and he does it several times throughout the New Testament, of putting on Jesus Christ, putting him on like a garment. You put your clothes on for real. St. Paul, you need to put on Jesus Christ. You don't need to talk about him. You don't need to think about him. You need to put him on. You need to act like you're in union with Christ. You need to manifest a life. Put on Jesus Christ. We like that part. It sounds nice. It sounds churchy. Yeah, I'm going to put on Jesus Christ. Well, we do excessive things that lead to other things. When we do those things, it's not only a matter of where we're living like we didn't put on Jesus Christ. You take him off. You actually take off. When you commit a grave sin, you do just the opposite of what St. Paul says. I've taken off Jesus Christ. Literally, you take him off. You separate yourself from him when you commit grave mortal sins. This is the two sides of the coin that we need to approach Scripture for. You know, these things are real. These things are real, and the Holy Spirit has given us seasons to really pay attention to this stuff. And when we pay attention to this stuff, it prevents us from going off the rails. It prevents us from having, you really think about it. Advent should be like, you know, a time when you really, I don't have to go to confession because it's Advent. I'm really not messing around. But again, I get real busy back there. I get really busy back there during Lent. Why? It shouldn't be that way. We should put on Christ. We should act like we put him on just like we put on our clothes. In the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.